Well, the weather outside is frightful, but our chat shall be delightful. And since you couldn't get around town, here on Michael's Mix, Michael's Mix, Michael's Mix Down. They don't pay me to sing, you know, but it wasn't bad.
That's all right. You're better than like 75% of Odysseus.
Shit, dog.
Anyways, hello everyone and Odysseus. Welcome to this episode of Michael's Mixdown. Michael's Mixdown is a show primarily about the recording arts, so whether you heard it in the studio or in the stadium, you can hear about it here on Michael's Mixdown. Spoilers already, you might know who today's guest is. It's Odysseus, it's you guys. Welcome to the show.
It's us?
Oh, dang, I thought it was Charles Martinet.
I have a really bad habit of spoiling things.
sorry to hear
right off the bat
that your guys' weather circumstance is just ass balls and terrible and all that.
Yeah, dropping out of a show that we had scheduled was not the most fun thing we've done this year. That was unfortunate.
And the thing was, I think it wasn't us. We were like on edge. We were trying to figure out, like, let's try to pull through. But
it was last
as
minute.
Soon as somebody from the other band, it was last minute. Somebody from the other band actually gotten.
They got stuck, didn't they?
Their guitar player crashed on the side of the road.
Oof. And then as soon as we get the message that they got stuck, I get a message from my roommate who's borrowing my car. And while she's out in the snow and everything, two lug nuts have fallen off of the back right tire of my car. And so the wheel is just wobbling and she's like, I cannot make it home. So we had to deal with that, and I had to deal with that instead of getting ready for a show. So yeah. That was fun. It was fun. It was cold.
Yeah, the lesson for that part is tighten your nuts, okay?
Oh my God. Damn. Put those nuts in a vice
grip.
But don't
over-tighten them. That can be a problem. Nuts.
Yeah. My God.
Wow, that whole situation was driving me nuts.
Sometimes you just got.
Thanks for having us on, Michael. I'm gonna go now.
Sometimes you just have to lug your nuts home. Anyway.
Oh my God. That's actually a good one. Shit.
Hell yeah. Alrighty.
Somebody should pay me to do that, but.
How has the weather been up there, though? I mean, you hear how it was in Nashville, but how's the weather been treating you?
Oh, it's typical Indiana bullshit. It's wind chill was -5. Today, I think, and we got like 3 or 4 inches of snow, which might turn into some ice stuff later. Although the last thing I knew, it wasn't gonna have any more than just like the odd flurry or whatever that was gonna maybe come down. It was gonna be some chance of flurries, it says.
Well, either way,
but
stock up on food regardless so you don't run into the mistake that I ran into, which is only having cereal to eat for 5 days.
Yeah. I'm on my way up.
That band life.
Yeah.
On my way up, I was like tasked with bringing more like Cheerios and a couple of other things. And it's like.
My mom sends food with Danny from Florida because he had to pick up some stuff from our place anyway. And what does she send me except more of the same thing? So
much for a healthy diet.
Yeah. Lots of fiber.
You know, and like in a lot of Asian cultures, like when you move into a new house, like people will bring you bags of rice. So you'll always have something mm-hmm. to eat. And I wonder if that's Alex's mom's.
With Honey Nut Cheerios. Here's your rice and popcorn.
That's a pretty downgraded version if you think about it.
I mean, I do like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
It's not even that.
She didn't send
Honey Nut.
She sent regular Cheerios this time?
Just straight up Cheerios.
Anyway, we wrote an album.
Yeah. Would you guys like to talk about that?
Yes.
We could talk about Cheerios.
Well,
it's a show primarily about the recording arts, but sometimes about Cheerios.
Get my mind off the starvation, please, for the love of God.
Don't eat snow, especially the yellow kind.
No.
No. Let's not eat the snow.
So anyways. Mix it with A little bit of vanilla and sugar. I'm going to stop talking about food.
So you guys are a band and you wrote an album. Maybe we should start off by having everybody introduce themselves and what they do in the band.
All right, fine. I'll go first. My name is Dan. I am the guitarist and, well, for this record, the primary songwriter. Yeah, that's really it.
I'm Speedy, and I just play bass. That's it. That's all I'll ever do. Don't ask me to do anything else, including podcasts. I'm out.
All right, see you.
All right, see you later, Speedy. Shit.
No, I'm the bass player, though.
I'm hearing silence, so I think it's my turn. My name is Jana. I am the singer. I did a little tiny bit of songwriting, but I did sing most of the songs.
And I am Alex. I am the drummer, record producer, and original founder of Odysseus.
Right. And by record producer, that also covers like engineering and all that stuff, recording and...
Yeah, that entails taking the song ideas that Danny has that he... poops out his butt at a moment's notice. It's freakish almost. And then taking
those
ideas.
And those Tennessee song poopers.
Right. taking those kernels of ideas and making them pop into popcorn. Granted, it was like 50-50 on this record. He had a lot of really fleshed out ideas that I just needed to make sound good. And then there were a lot that were just like, here's this riff. And I go, all right, here we go. But then I was the primary recording engineer. I mixed the record, and then I had a buddy of mine, Ian Burrell, master the record.
Okay. Sweet. And would you guys classify yourselves as like prog metal, or is there some other like tag that you guys prefer more?
The current, after finishing the record, we really settled into alt rock, prog rock.
Okay.
We've got a couple different spices and flavors thrown in. Like there is definitely some metal influence. There's definitely some Dream Theater specifically and Tool influence. But I think overall with the songwriting and the stylistics, the stylistic playing, the characteristics of all of us, alt rock seems to be a little more of a better fit and gives us some wiggle room to kind of write outside of that box too.
And I guess we should also probably, somebody should say the name of the album, which I don't know if it's a self-titled or not.
Horizon.
It is right. Horizon.
Horizon. Gotcha. And this isn't out yet. I've heard it, but it's not out yet as of this recording. So I don't have 100% of all the details in front of me.
So February 3rd, 2024. So
in about 2 weeks. A
couple weeks from now.
A couple of weeks. Yeah.
And then we're also going to be doing an album release show featuring some good friends of mine, Siren, who I also actually play with at the moment, and then Robin August, who is a Nashville-based artist who I played with last year and blew my socks off. And I was like, we need you.
Nice.
This is going to be a fun night. Yeah. And not snowed in. So.
Right. And then you guys will go on a regional tour somewhere close enough that I can come see you. Right?
For sure.
Definitely.
Actually, yeah.
Go ahead, Speedy.
We can talk more. I've got friends up in Indiana, so I'm sure we can get a show up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right now we're putting together different spots. We operate primarily in Discord, which is awesome organizationally. Mm-hmm. So for any other record producers out there, make a Discord, even if it's just your band. It has been great for making isolated channels and sections. So we've got a channel for venues we want to play in, and we can talk about why and why not. And we can put that all together. And then once we start putting together tour routes, we can make little dropout chats for those and put that all together. It's really convenient. But we are planning on doing like a Midwest, Northeastern, Southeastern. We might start with Southeastern just because half the band is originally from Florida. So connections, but
right.
We'll be there soon enough. I promise.
One of these days.
One of these days.
I mean, hell, even if you guys could hit like Cincy or made, like even Louisville, I could probably make that.
Oh, definitely. We're going to start branching out when we can.
Are you based in the Indianapolis area?
Yeah. So I live in a little burg, a little, you know, a ways away, but like one corner of my county touches one corner of Marion County. So they call it a suburb, evidently, of Indianapolis, but I wouldn't personally consider it a suburb because it's not within like 10 minutes of downtown or anything like that. But
so it's kind of like where I am to Nashville, because I'm in a town called Hermitage, and that's technically Davidson County. But it's also like, it's a 30-minute drive from downtown.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm about 35 minutes from downtown Indy.
Right.
But I'm only like an hour and a half-ish, hour and 20 minutes from Cincinnati, so.
There you go.
But anyways, but yeah, maybe I could help you figure out a place at some point if we.
That'd be dope. That'd be awesome.
I don't know a ton of people, but I am going to go to like a small local show in about a month, so I might find out some more about that venue and if they're looking for like booking shows or whatever in the future. I'm not sure it's new. I've never heard of it. It's not even on Google Maps. Like, they have an address that you can it used to be something else, so when you pull it up on Google Maps, it pulls up something that's not a music venue.
So they're gonna
Those are always the best though.
Yeah.
Like, cause you either go and like you're experiencing one of the like 10 shows they're gonna get to put on before they have to shut down.
Yep.
Or you're getting to experience like the birth of a new venue.
Yeah.
And like either way, that's a fun experience.
Yep. Yep. So
plus they like newcomers.
Yeah. Yep. They usually do.
Yeah.
So
but on the whole picking new places, I mean, if anyone listening to this goes out and listens to our music and likes us and wants us to play, let us know, please. We'd like to know where to go. We'd like to go where the people want to hear us.
And speaking of, the format of the show is usually that I cut in clips of things. So maybe, you know, like now would be a good place to cut something in. I don't know. I'll find something.
Definitely.
I like to give myself like little places to insert things just because it makes it easier.
Do I need to be quiet for like 10 seconds and just.
Nah. Nah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Very difficult for all four of us to do at the same time.
It is very hard.
So.
There's a reason this first record took a year and a half to make.
Right. Well, the band that I do sound for, it took them like 4 or 5 years to write the album that just came out.
Oh shit. So we got faster then.
Yeah.
No, you wrote them really quick and then you just deliberated forever on the rest of it.
That's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
That shit happens too.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a concept album, right? So, some concept albums are in my experience are kind of more concept than story, if you know what I mean. Like some concept albums I've listened to, I'm like, I'm not sure I caught the story to that, but they say it's a concept album.
Like sonically a concept album versus the concept being the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that.
So like some albums I've heard, like I especially, what was the one? If it hits me, it hits me. But there was one that somebody was like, that was a concept album. I was like, what? I've heard that album twice or something. I didn't catch anything that made me think that it was like that there was a story going on. Anyways, so could you guys give me the kind of the overview of what the story is on this album so that, you know, because it's not out yet. So there's people listening to this may or may not have heard the whole thing. So give me, I don't know, an outline of the story and the characters and what's going on.
Yeah, and we're going to let Danny do that, and you're more than welcome to stop him if he goes past 20 minutes.
Okay.
Shoot, where do I begin?
The first track.
So the first track. The first track is literally the introduction. It's like a little introduction, kind of like if you go on a ride. If I remember it. So the first track is literally the introduction, where apparently we just hear somebody going through a whole system, and it's a program, which all I'm going to say is that that program's name resembles the morning, which is where the sun would rise, and you'd see that in the horizon if you don't see clouds. So, so honestly, just the beginning of the first two tracks of the record kind of just help introduce where everything would take place. The first song is basically titled Horizon.
I'm gonna help a little.
It's like in the morning.
I'm gonna help a little bit, Danny. What is the story of Sonder? Horizon is down.
Okay, hold on. Yes. We haven't gotten to Sonder just yet.
Actually, the basic overarching?
The basic overarching story of Sonder is this soldier unit robot, meant to just carry out orders that is given. One of them mainly just take out whatever is deemed as a threat. In a world that a primitive society has lived in.
It's essentially a security bot, right?
I wouldn't say a security bot. I'd say more of...
So that one is jumping ahead, because security bots do get built, but that's part of the story.
Yeah, that's part of the story. This one is just more of, we are fighting, we are like... taking out the enemies right now. Like, we're just...
The story picks up, like, as this soldier unit is sent into battle for the first time with his I guess, fellow soldier units. And as he's sent into battle, he starts to question his programming. He starts to look at his programming and literally see that the people that he has been sent to attack, to destroy, are defenseless. They don't have any way to fight back against this onslaught. And Sonder recognizes this and stops fighting.
But in turn, Sonder ends up getting deemed as defective and actually... gets completely rejected and ejected out of what was initially known as his home.
Okay. So it's almost like a little bit of All Quiet on the Western Front meets like Westworld in a way.
Yeah, meets quite literally like the Odyssey in the Iliad, where he has to find his own way.
Yeah, and ever since... as soon as Sonder gets deemed defective, it gets rejected. Sonder is now just wandering aimlessly, trying to figure out what went wrong, both with himself and with what made it so that these orders were so difficult. As Sonder's journey progresses a little more, we get to find out. Another side of that story where somebody is looking to manipulate this civilization here, trying to do this whole fear-mongering and doing the whole, oh yeah, I can help you guys out if you make me your leader or some shit like that. I haven't really dug too much into that.
Yeah,
it's a concept, right?
Yeah, it's more of a concept, but does have a slight story.
Yeah, like the way that I understood it was that can we name him? Because we have like a name.
We have a name. It's just not mentioned in the album. So
you do
with it as you will.
The mysterious figure.
There's a name? Yes. This is news to me.
It's a name, just it's not in the record.
So this character
named it for fun.
He is the one who created Soldier Unit 6 and all the rest of this of those units, that series, to destroy this civilization. He has his own reasons for doing that. And I think that'll come about later, probably. He ends up creating basically newer units, and rather than just sending them to destroy, he tries to sell them off as a security defense type of system to defend against the initial creatures that he had created himself.
Okay. But in doing so, Sonder realizes that, or like Sonder out of certain anger gets jealous, but then realizes why the creator was doing this in the first place. And that was
the evil plan.
Yeah. And that was mainly just to ensure that nobody suspects the thing about this new series, you know? Nobody, like, this is just a new series. Like, they're so decently presented. They're, like, advertised as a new product that you can get. Like, you can get little Timmy this thing for Christmas, you know?
And then you don't have to worry about his safety. He's always protected.
Yeah, and then
sounds like an episode of Black Mirror.
Yes. So then Sonder finds that out, and he goes after them, right? More or less.
Yeah, he does go. Well, not only does he go after them, he goes after he tries to warn the people of this primitive civilization that, you know, what they have just welcomed is going to be their downfall.
So he tries to warn them. He tries to save them. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Good.
And then he gets his anime protagonist final battle, which
which is mainly just dubbed final shot, and that's really it. Just Sonder realizes, you know what, creator, fuck you. We're gonna settle this right here and now.
And there is a little something after the battle too, but you gotta listen to the album for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. He has a self-actualization. Yeah. He takes care of business, and then there's a little bit more.
Yeah. So yeah. What kind of... What kind of like sci-fi things are you guys into that might have kind of informed or inspired some of this kind of stuff? Or is it anime?
I can't say anything because all of the stuff that I'm into that I'm like, you don't like this? He's like, yeah, no, I've never even heard of or listened to that. And I'm like, but it's so similar.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you could still say it.
Coheed and Cambria. He's never listened to Coheed and Cambria. And like listening to like him describe the story and like listening to like some of the musical choices that are made, I'm just like, you've seriously never even listened to a track by this band in your life.
There's so many bands that I probably have never listened to that I somehow ended up sounding like them, which is hilarious to me, but it's also pretty cool. I get to listen to them afterwards, and I just go, holy crap, I love them.
The influence for the top line of the record, I don't know where it comes from. It's similar to a project that Danny and I had worked on previous. So I think there might have been a little take from that. But it was a lot of just kind of Danny coming up with a story. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little more sci-fi than that.
Where are you actually pulling from sci-fi-wise? I don't even know that.
So definitely a good third of it would be... A good third of it has a heavy influence from Doctor Who, because.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of like the most recent or the most modern Doctor Who, but like the David Tennant and Matt Smith era of Doctor mm-hmm. Who is what really inspired me most.
See, this is news. But not to only me, that, I've been here from the beginning. That's hilarious.
It is.
Everybody finds new things on Michael's Mixdown.
We have a Doctor Who reference in the album.
Yeah, we do. We do have a Doctor Who reference in the album. All I'm going to say is listen to just the intro track.
No, listen to the whole album.
Well, yeah, listen to the whole album, but it's still in there. I forgot it was. There was actually more than that. I forgot. There was more than that. Sorry, I haven't. It's been like a week or so since I've listened to any of the music.
My biggest sci-fi influence is definitely. My biggest sci-fi influence is definitely Trek. So a lot of my, like the concept for the band itself, that allows us to tell the story that we do for Odysseus as a whole, I kind of ripped almost directly from Star Trek, from Next Gen.
Okay.
Which, if you'll allow me a second, I can explain like the concept, because there's the concept for the record and there's the concept for Odysseus. Odysseus in and of itself is this system of records keeping machines. They're these pod stations, if you will, that are kind of positioned throughout the universe by this civilization that is long since gone. And it gathers snapshots through these planets and societies' history. Whether there's a huge notable event that happens, it captures that. And then it retells those stories for whoever happens to wander by and take a listen, tells those stories through music. I liked that concept because it allows all of us to kind of write whatever the hell we want to and create different story arcs. So we're not boxed into one particular story. So then, the next five records aren't about Sonder. We can go in a completely different direction if we want to, story-wise. And it gave us that freedom. But I also, ripped that more or less from the episode where Picard goes in and he lives a whole life, and it's the one with the flute and everything. I was like, yeah, that's a records keeping device that retells the story through its own means. And I was like, why don't we just do that to the whole freaking universe?
In a way, that reminds me of the overarching plot of Mass Effect and how the Reapers come in and wipe everything out, and they take whatever's the best or whatever they can find, and they kind of give that to the next like generation or whatever, the next race that they think is going to come up, and then they preserve all that and go back into deep space or whatever, and then they come back in like 10,000 years and wipe everything back out, take whatever they think is interesting, and then that becomes like the next race of Reapers or whatever.
Hilarious.
Main difference between like Odysseus and the Reavers there would be that basically the Reavers are still existing on a linear timeline, whereas with Odysseus, it's viewed more as, what was that Kurt Vonnegut book? Slaughterhouse-5. Like, mm-hmm. Slaughterhouse-5, mm-hmm. where there are those alien beings that exist outside of a linear time that can kind of view it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
The Observers. Or what was that show that was on Sci-Fi for a long time ago? Oh, it was so good.
There's like What If with the Watcher, the Marvel character.
Or that, but no, it was a show about, it was a sci-fi show about this doctor.
Doctor Who?
No, not Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Star Trek. There's doctors on Star Trek.
Shut up.
The Orville.
No, oh, not the Orville. Though that is also a good show. No, and he creates this wormhole into like parallel dimensions, and then they have watchers and.
Oh, that's Scrubs. Like, I've seen that show.
What the fuck? No, it's Psych. God damn it! No.
Farscape.
Chicago PD.
Yeah.
Farscape has wormholes.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Did someone mention Grey's Anatomy?
Right.
Fun fact about that, my cousin was actually the lead editor for several seasons of Grey's Anatomy. Then she went on to do stuff like Space Force and what else did she do? a bunch of shit. She's got some awards. It's yeah, she's awesome. It's fun to see her around at family dinners.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell her that to her face. Always keep her ego low.
Exactly. Bash her down. I'm going to send her this podcast. She's going to hear it.
I don't care how many Emmys you have. I don't know.
I got a podcast.
Yeah. We were on the acclaimed show Michael's Mixdown.
Which Speedy knew of. I asked Speedy and everyone if they knew about your podcast, and because Speedy is chronically online.
Nervous laughter.
Flipping me off under the camera.
Chronically is, you know, a bit strong, but I like podcasts.
So Speedy is a lot online. I'm getting more death stares. I'll shut
but
up.
Anyways.
Do you have more questions?
Chronically depressed and being online is a coping mechanism, I think is a better diagnosis. Jesus.
I'm just glad somebody'd heard of me.
Okay.
I'm just,
do have listeners out there. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't know you were based in Indiana, but
I'm just chronically acquiring a life, so
aren't we all?
One of two of them are in this podcast right now. No.
Please insert your identification. Scanning complete. Welcome. Please select your program. You're about to activate program 7 Alpha Sol Petrichor. Would you like to continue? Initializing program. Activating Soldier Series 6. Loading protocol set. Testing general motor function. Activating sonic weapons. Program complete. Thank you for choosing Odysseus. Welcome to the horizon.
So,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Please go ahead.
I did want to ask about the character that kind of, I don't know what you, I guess what you would call her, but the narrator type, the character that is our friend Astoria Red, because we both work out of her Discord server as like audio engineer helper people. And I've known her for a number of years. And so when you said that you'd gotten her to do some VO work for the album, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I think I even one night long time ago heard some of that before that the album was ever really recorded. Because I think you were just sharing some of it with me on screen sharing or whatever, but how did she get mixed up in all this, and then what's her character do for the story?
How'd she get mixed up? She said yes. I'd been on the server for a little while at that point, and I was track listing the record because everything had been written already, and I got thinking about how, like, when you go to Disney or Universal, usually you're sitting in a ride queue and you have music and like their narrators that talk to you to kind of put you in the headspace. This kind of introduction before you get on a ride on a roller coaster and go off, and you know, it sets you in that in where you are. And so I had that idea of throwing that in before the actual records start. And then we solidified the concept of what the Odysseus system would be. And by when we finally wrote that script for Astoria, she essentially had become more or less the voice of the Odysseus platform. And it came about just because we were I think we were setting up a Q&A, time for Q&A. And I was like, hey, I had this wild idea. You're totally totally chill to say no. But what are your rates for VO? She was like, why? And I said, because I have this idea. I pitched her the idea. She's like, that's awesome. Let me know what you need and when you need it. And I was like, cool. What are your rates? We'll worry about that later. And I was like, all right. So we're working on stuff. And she's effectively just in the band at this point as the voice of the Odyssey system. And then, quite frankly, she pulls that whole idea together. Had we not done that, I don't think we'd have a good representation of what Odysseus is.
All I'm going to say is after that conversation, Alex just comes over to, or Alex just like quickly messages me, is like, hey, Dan, can you write like a little quick script, like a 30-second kind of script? Sure. What for? Then he relays this. I just go, all right, cool. I'll try my best. Sometimes what I write, I think just becomes random gibberish. And then I'll look back at it and go, wait, there's something here. So that's literally the same thing I do with this. I don't think of any meaning until I realize I put meaning in there.
Yeah.
Which is, or also sometimes part of the reason why there's references.
What an artistic thing to say. What a starving artist thing to say.
I mean, all I'm going to say is this. We're putting into like deep thought and stuff like that. I think of it similar to how Dave Grohl wrote Learn to Fly. I think that was the name of the song.
Well, that's the name of a song.
It was literally just, you know, people thought, oh, there must be some deep meaning to this. It's like, no, he just wanted to become a pilot.
Yeah.
And in learning to walk, that was about physical therapy. That's not true. I don't want to.
That's not true. Yeah. No, Dave Grohl, if you hear this, please don't come for us. We don't know what we're talking about.
Like, Dave Grohl, if you hear this, oh my God, I'm such a big fan. Right.
Hey, if you need an opener for anything,
I've got a candle.
Please let us know. Shit. What? Okay. It's like, so
I think that one was just called Walk, though.
Yeah, it was just Walk.
See, this is the part that's going to piss everybody off. I was intentionally vague when I asked Danny to write start writing the script. And I do that a lot. I am intentionally vague a lot to just allow. I wind the clock up and just let it go. And then I take whatever mess falls out and I clean that up. So same thing with the opening. I was like, I know where I want this to go. I'm going to be vague, give the general idea, and then fill him in later.
Yeah.
Well, and it worked out.
This is the artistic process, though, isn't it? It's just like creating a boundary, but still allowing that flexibility to grow outside of that boundary.
Exactly. Writing prompt.
I don't like building from clay, to put it in a visual representation. I don't like building from clay. I see my job as carving out a marble and then basically everyone else brings me their marble. The marble that they've cultivated themselves. And then I look for the picture inside that marble and I try to carve that out. And then every once in a while, I'll bring everybody, you know, hand people chisels and say, great, help me out with this little piece. You know, what did you see here? And we bring that all together to be a finished sculpture. I look at building records more as sculpture building than like throwing clay from the ground up.
So is that what, when people say they scoop the mids, does that mean that they took a chisel?
Oh,
that's a very unfortunate chisel. Yeah, no, it's a helpful tool.
It's like a guitar player thing. One of you guys should know what that means.
Yeah, don't you scoop my mids?
Oh, don't, no, you? Don't. Let me just go back on the whole record really quick and fix it. I didn't scoop any.
I love my mids.
What are you talking about?
My mids. My mids are directly me showing, hey, I listened to Rush growing up. Like,
I don't know, that's pretty mid.
That's one of the things I liked. One of the things I liked about your tone, though, Speedy, and why I gave you the nickel pick to do this whole record was like your whole system has a really, really beautiful mid range. Not just alone, but all of that mid range. And so I was very deliberate with the tracking method. The pick that I gave you, Yeah, no, in this whole record,
I love Speedy's tone.
It's because I was obsessed with Geddy Lee in high school and college. That is why.
Rightfully so.
I don't even play like him. I just love his tone.
Even the glasses show it too.
Whatever.
Danny's calling you old. Smack him.
No, it's I don't know what it is, but it's always whenever somebody wears like the round glasses, they're either one of two different characters. Either one of three different characters, either Daniel Radcliffe, John Lennon, or Geddy Lee.
Newsflash, Daniel Radcliffe, you yourself are a character, bud. I don't think you knew that.
I'm not going to be like, oh, Daniel Radcliffe looks like John Lennon. No. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. Yeah, besides, I think I look more like Harry's dad. Then
shit.
So what's Harry Potter's dad's name?
I used to get the Harry James Potter references Potter. when I had round lenses, so I get it.
So we kind of accidentally slipped into my next question, which was to talk about what your guys' influences and things are. So we kind of talked about the sci-fi stuff already, but so like musically, I'm wondering what you guys are all kind of into, and if there was anything that kind of informed your
playing. How much time you got? But, we could this could take up the rest of the interview.
I've got 54 hours left on the memory card, so under that.
Dope. Oh, that's probably just enough.
We probably might cover at least 20 hours of those.
We'll start with Danny because that'll What are your musical? And
feel free to throw out players or bands or you know anything like this. Be as specific or as vague as you want.
Okay, so I might need help starting this one because if I start naming a random band and then
okay,
just go,
I'll go first then. Yeah. So my influences for this record specifically, but then would have shaped into like the overarching sound of Odysseus. I pull a lot from the 90s and early 2000s for like the guitars, specifically the guitars.
Are you talking about then, like your mixing and what your reference mixes are or just
everything?
Okay.
I grew up on like a nu metal, just that 90s nu metal sound, mm-hmm. And like the pop punk stuff from all of that. And I really like that kind of small guitar sound, big guitar, small guitar make sound big guitar. And I was able to get that from a lot of Danny's performances. So a lot of that's reamped. Cause he's got Danny has with the Archon, what, 225, which is a beautiful.
No, just 25.
Oh, is it the 25? Okay. So Danny's got the PRS.
PRS
Archon.
Makes them really good.
Running into delay. This is fun. Danny has the Archon, the PRS Archon 25, which in and of itself has a beautiful tone. So I've blended a lot of like his natural tone with a lot of those amp sounds from, like I said, the early 90s. And a lot of it was stock, just Persona stuff. But then... So Stevie T, if anyone's familiar with Stevie T, has a free amp out there. And I want to say a solid like 30% of this record is Stevie T amp sounds. Hilariously
it really is.
Enough.
Can't beat free.
Like, it's either Stevie T amp, and then if you combine that with, what was it, Cabin?
Cabin's got some good stuff. Cabin is a cab simulator with just like a Neumann, I think it's like an 87 replica on it. So it's just a cab that you can adjust the size and depth of, and then an 87 that you can move around.
Okay.
And that was really good. I actually stuck that on vocals for a couple of things. Then me playing wise, my influences kind of pull from all over, but for this, it was a lot of, Danny Carey, his approach to, hats and toms. There's a song where I directly ripped from Danny. And then Stuart Copeland, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I pulled a lot of police out of my butt for this record.
Well, a lot of drummers look up to him. So yeah.
Stuart Copeland's the man, dude. I have so many different heroes in the drum world, but Stuart is consistently in my top like five.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. He just came up and enjoyed playing music. So he's not like, oh, I was a session guy. Oh, I was this guy. I was this kind of guy. He's just a fucking drummer in a good band. But then could do so much with his playing. So mm-hmm. I have a couple nods in Final Shot. Specifically, I do one of his fills, and that was a direct nod from
Wait, Final from Copeland. Shot?
In Final Shot. There's a little there's
oh, for
a little
Copeland.
Film. Yeah, for Copeland.
Yeah, because I know for Danny Carey, you did some Danny Carey in like that the middle of Rev.
That was Rev.
Revelation for all you guys.
All my Tom work was Revelation, Danny Carey stuff. The bass tone when I was producing this was definitely a lot ripped from like even
it was like
Speedy
Dream Theater specifically Dream Theater Dance of Eternity.
Mm. Yep. Well, that's when we were keeping your bass. When I was doing Speedy, it was a lot more Geddy Lee. Might as well. This might be a good place.
There's still some crunch and some ass to it that I would. Yeah. Scenes from Memory is one of my favorite albums. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a blend of those two sounds.
I've got a whole podcast episode about that one.
Nice. It's definitely a blend of those two sounds.
I know.
My fan.
One of them that I listen to.
Told you. One of your two fans, man. It's awesome. Yeah. Vocally, I didn't. Like how I worked with Jana, I wanted a clean slate. So I intentionally didn't. Jana's got her own influences for how she did that. And I just kind of let that flow intentionally. I wanted to shape her technically. I didn't want to shape her tonally or stylistically. Jana is Jana. And I really liked that. And that's why we brought her on. Yeah. And for the most part, same with Speedy, actually. All of my tweaks to how the bass sounds on the record is all technical. It's not, you know, there might be some things I was like, hey, try it this way. But for the most part, it was just, I sit and hit record on what Speedy was playing and it sounded great.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jana wants to talk about her influences really quick.
Yes. So a lot of my influence is kind of more genre full rather than specific artists. I grew up listening to a lot of country. So that's kind of an underlying thing, but I pulled a lot of Amy Lee out of my ass for this. I've been compared to like Hayley Williams. So I would say she's definitely in there. It's a lot of Amy Lee and a lot of like Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless. So those are just kind of specific people. While developing vocally what I sound like, those are kind of the people I listen to. But I would say there's some underlying country stuff going on there. I don't know if that's very obvious on the record, but
it's that Nashville.
Obvious to me in some places. I don't know to everyone else. I might have screwed up.
Whatever, we're based out of Nashville.
Yeah, it's true. Well, your dad, Jana, works specifically in like country and country rock, right?
Yeah, my dad. So growing up, I had a really, really wild mix of music I was exposed to growing up. But my dad is a country singer-songwriter. So I grew up like downtown in the bars while my dad's playing his set and I'm in the back of the bar falling asleep on some random stool, like kind of thing. So that's kind of where that comes from. But my dad was the one who really kind of taught me a lot of what I know. So I've never been like super formally trained. I did a lot of musical theater and stuff. And so I had somebody kind of train me for that kind of stuff a little bit, but most of it was my dad and whatever I found that I pulled in.
Yeah. I actually grew up listening to a lot of country in the 90s, and while it's not my favorite genre, but sometimes the nostalgic pull of it is so strong that I just sit down and listen to some 90s country stuff. And then Fallout, more than anything, made me fall in love with like 50s country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like that really old school country where it was about like blowing shit up and fighting the law yeah. and whatever.
like 50s outlaw country?
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
And then Danny's over here stuck in the 80s with his influences. That's not entirely true.
So the funny thing is, yeah, well, Alex, that is like half true.
It's
like, actually, no, it's more of a one-third true kind of at this point. It's like, well, no, it's like, yeah, 60, kind of half like true.
60 or 70% true. That's part of why I like working. It's part of why I like working with you, because you do pull like a lot of the really, really great guitar stuff from the 80s. And you,
yeah.
you
I don't
do
think
it fluidly.
I've gotten in your car and you've been playing music from before 19, like after 1990, I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, you know, there's been a few years, or there's been a handful of years that I've been listening to just straight up 70s, 80s, and 90s. And at this point, like, after a while, I just started switching up to, like, from all the classic rock, classic metal, to full-on electronic. Like, I've become bipolar. I'm either hard rock or just fucking EDM.
Gotcha.
And that does show, like, a lot in the record, too.
It kind of does. And then
we
people
flip
are going to be like, oh...
Danny and I
people
flip
are gonna be like,
when it
oh,
comes
so cringe. But definitely one of the influences are like Bring Me the Horizon is definitely one of the heavy influences in there. But only one.
It's funny because you brought up the synths, and that's like the one place where Danny and I swap in terms of like decade influence. Because Danny's heavy influence on synths comes from like the 2010s, 2020s. And my synth influence now comes from like the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Mm. It's the one place where our tastes kind of flop. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that I want to do more of that I want to push myself to. But I also got to make sure that I'm not going too fast.
There's also a lot of weird like guitar chords and progressions and parts that, to me, are really like anime. Like, this is a kid that grew up watching, like, which we're seeing a lot in music nowadays, and I love personally.
I love it.
I can rip directly from our website, like from our little press kit thing, to give a definitive list of what this, because we literally sat there for, I think it was like a 45 minute meeting, where we kind of narrowed down what our sound-alike list was. And what we came up with was Bring Me the Horizon, Evanescence, Winery Dogs, Tool, Dream Theater, Alien Ant Farm, Paramore, and Mick Gordon. So if you like any of that music, you're probably going to like a lot of this record.
Yeah. Pretty big stretch of stuff.
It is a giant... and Mike Portnoy's on there twice, Winery Dogs and Dream Theater.
It's true.
We are... If you were to take some real time, like a few hours to get into all of us, like we are a very spread out kind of group too. We're different. We're very different people.
I grew up as a jazz guy. Like I grew up in jazz jams and shit. So
I grew up playing in churches. The reason that I have like the articulation that you talk about is from playing at like predominantly Black Pentecostal churches.
The articulation
and getting
of
stared
love?
At anytime I would miss a note.
there's no other pressure than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I am, like, I just spent most of my time locked in my room, playing around with a piece of wood.
It had strings on it.
Yeah. It has strings on it.
It's a family show. God damn it! It's a family show.
Like you're that kid from Ed, Ed.
What?
Had the plan.
I rarely is a guitar made of just straight up metal.
Johnny, Johnny was that character.
Johnny was that character.
Shave your head. You'll be fine.
have a plank over.
Oh, no.
I want to see that. I want to see a plank-looking guitar. That'd be amazing.
That would be pretty cool.
A plank-looking guitar. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
A guitar that looks like plank.
You guys are slipping through a lot of the questions that I have, so... I have a lot less work to do. It seems more.
We know storytelling. That's what it is. An interview is just a story.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah.
Do I need to go on my famous? This is all art. All various arts are is just storytelling. Do I need to go on that rant for a second?
No.
Okay. I'll shut the fuck up then. No.
If anybody does want to hear that rant after you get done with this podcast, just look up Dan Harmon storytelling. There's hours, just hours of stuff.
Straight up.
That's true. Dan Harmon and I do agree on that.
Yeah. I do like Dan Harmon.
I know.
And Tyler the Creator. Tyler the Creator also heavily agrees with that.
I kind of feel like Tyler, the Creator, sometimes.
No.
Not creatively.
What?
Not creatively. Just the way he responds, though.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Okay. I was so lost for a second. Please, Michael, like, grab the reins.
So what? So what are you afraid of?
Far off the track.
So one thing that I was interested in that you guys hadn't just organically kind of brought up was how did you guys decide to tackle a concept album as, you know, out of the gate, and what challenges were in overcoming overcoming that? Because, you know, like prog music is already technical and difficult to learn and to play, and then throw a concept album over on top of it, I think adds another layer of, you know, stuff that you have to, as far as songwriting goes and all that, I would think that that would add another layer of difficulty. So I'm just kind of wondering how you guys settled into that out of the gate. And if that, it kind of sounds to me like what that's sort of what you plan on continuing to do. So how did you guys come up with that?
I can answer that. And one other question I have a feeling you're probably already going to ask.
Okay.
And it goes to the conception of Odysseus to begin with, of the band. This group started a couple years ago when I got frustrated by how I was being treated in the industry, by working for a lot of other people and just being constantly shut down, taken over, screwed over, carpet ripped from under me.
And no, were you doing like session drumming work, or were you doing engineering?
I was producing and managing people.
Okay.
And my projects kept either falling completely through or getting literally taken over by people that had no business taking it over. And yeah, I'm at a point where I'll say that publicly. If the person who knows what I'm talking about ever hears this, yeah, I'm talking about you, bud.
He's talking about Danny.
There was a straw that broke a straw that broke the camel's back. There was a project that almost took me completely out of music. I managed to bounce back, but then there was something else that just kicked me back down on the ground. I said, that's it. I'm done doing this for other people right now. I'm done working for other people. I'll work with people, but I'm done working for. So I called up Danny and I said, you, me, we're doing a thing and we're finishing it this time.
This time.
We're finishing it this time.
Oh, man, stuff.
Yeah. Well, because Danny and I have been working together for a very long time. We've been friends for quite a while. And I'm very glad that I've had Danny as a friend. But just... two ADHD kids, there you run into the issue of starting projects, of getting very close to the finish line and just something happening. And
yep,
we go off our separate ways and don't talk for like 7 months. This time I was like
several times.
Yeah. This time I said, no more of that. So I was pretty dead set on starting something, anything, and finishing it. So Odysseus wasn't even a thing yet. We wrote, I think it was roughly three tunes, it was like three or four songs. And I said, great, we can make this an EP. We should probably give it like a conceptual name for the quote unquote band. Because originally we were just going to put it out, just me and him.
Okay.
And it would be the record and under some pseudo, we were about to go the anonymous route. But then Danny wrote more music.
And then, so the initial one was like probably like three or four songs. And then the next initial like limit was seven songs. Yeah. So we wrote seven songs.
We started
with
like
we started with like two, and then we decided, let's just do like four, just get that over with, and then do seven. And next, you know, after a 4th of July writing kind of a session, like, or no, just the summer. Entire month of July. After we finish seven, Alex goes back home. To give context, I still by the time this podcast is out, I still live in Florida. By recording this podcast, I still live in Florida. So he comes down. We do all those songs. All right, cool. So he goes back up. 1 week later, I've already had about one or two more songs written after that.
Yeah.
So it's just constantly Danny feeding me more and more ideas for songs, and I'm like, great, okay, we'll throw it on the record. It did get to a point where I was like, dude, next one. Let's finish these 12 and we'll do the next one. Yeah.
It was finally around like November that we finally figured out, all right, this is like the perfect amount of tracks.
Yep.
Just November of which year? Just to
2022, actually.
Okay. So
about a year and a half, like you guys were saying.
Yeah. To answer your initial question with this whole thing, I wasn't worried about doing a concept record. It was let's make music. Yep. Let's tell a story and put the story out. To me, the whole marketing thing of like, oh, do singles until you have an audience or none of that shit. People have been saying shit like that since the 70s about doing single versus EP versus record versus concept. No one cares. Put out good music. Yeah. That's been my whole thing. I don't give a flying fuck what marketing guru says you have to do. I'm going to make good music and put it out there. And if people want to hear it, people want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole singles thing works for some people in some genres, but like, yeah. I'm not a fan of like, as a fan, I do not care for that model, but I understand why people do it because it's, they're out here trying to make a living and that's what makes them money. And it's like, I get that, but.
There's a healthy balance between the business of this and the art of this. To me, yes, we put out two singles before we're putting out this record, but we had the record done. It's not like we're writing two singles and then we'll write the record if that is successful. No.
Yeah.
The business decision is we'll pick two of the best songs on the record and put those out as singles because we want people to hear this shit. While we finish cleaning up and get the production of the actual physical CDs and whatnot, which are finally here. But I'm not worried about all that hype of, you know, you have to do this to be successful. You have to do this to be successful. I'm here to do an art. I'm going to do my art. And I'm going to get the best, absolute best people I can to help me do that, which I did. And so if we write a concept record, great. We wrote a concept record. If the next one is just a bunch of songs that fit a common theme, great. If the record after that is another concept record, I don't care. If we do a series of singles, it's just what we have in our arsenal to put out. Because to me as a listener, no, I'm not worried about what's getting put out. I just, you know, hey, something new, let's listen to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's, yeah. To directly answer the question, I wasn't worried about putting out a concept record. I was just worried about putting out good music.
Right. So how did it find its way there, I guess, from that to that there, now there's a concept that we're going to build around?
that came from my management style of, Danny, let's write music, and then letting him write a story that he wanted to tell.
Yeah, at the time I was just itching to try to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I'm itching to tell a story. We're writing this record. I just go, fuck it. Let's make it a concept album.
There really was that. We were sitting in a VC on Discord, and I think it was pretty simultaneous. We were both like, screw it, concept record. And like, yeah, screw it, concept record.
it's really fun okay. to do. And the thing is, like, my favorite thing about this concept record is like, okay, so if you hear something that you probably heard, so you hear something on one song that you probably heard from a different song in the same record, that's just because that's me wanting to both musically and lyrically tell a story.
Danny likes a throwback.
Also bringing back some themes. Yeah, here's the thing. A lot of soundtracks, like for movies and video games, could also do the same thing. So I kind of drew inspiration from that.
Yeah, recurring motifs. Mm-hmm. And we play on that quite heavily. Like in Revelation, there's a French horn solo, which is awesome. He's played by this guy out of Atlanta. Amazing French horn part. But that's a recurring motif that came from a song previously earlier in the record. And so we tie those in. It's good stuff. It's good writing. Danny wrote some good stuff.
Yeah. Not only that, but even just the chorus to that song, to Revelation, also did somewhat mirror Enigma too, I initially wrote the stuff for Revelation before I wrote Enigma, because I knew what I wanted to, I knew what I had. Would work for Revelation, but then as soon as I was trying to write Enigma, I was like, well, how can I make that? And then I realized, all right, I just need to go not the determined route, I need to go the I have just been broken off on something kind of route. So for anybody writing, wanting to write something in a different tone, just think of a different emotion to convey for the same line, and you'll probably get you'll get an interesting result.
Now I'm kind of wondering if you guys are trying to formulate a question on the fly. What are like some of your favorite concept albums that are out there? Because like I'm trying to think of just like a handful. Like earlier we talked about Scenes from a Memory, Metropolis Part 2 is probably, I don't know. It's one of the most well known. I don't know if it's the biggest one out there, but because you know, you've got The Wall and all that other kind of stuff, and all the Arion records are all concept albums. And
I've got two that go in a wildly different direction, but both Sufjan Stevens, Illinois and Michigan. I really love those, both of those records. And they're a concept record more so that they tell the emotions about being in certain states more than telling an overarching story, but they are both beautifully crafted pieces of work. Sufjan Stevens is one, probably one of the most underrated musical geniuses that is alive today. And so both of those are incredible.
There's one concept album that, there's actually one concept album from Styx, and no, it's not the, Kilroy Was Here or Mr. Roboto, whatever the, here's the thing. I never listened to that record. Don't at me at it. Out of all the classic stuff, I just did not find appealing. Even if it talked about robots, it just did it. To me, it just didn't do a good job for that. But then again, it was also the 80s. But the actual concept album from Styx would be The Mission.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say The Mission.
That one was a little more, like, that one was a little more planned, a little more spacey, and just everything about it, including the little motifs. That's actually, that record right there is part of the reason why I wrote Horizon the way I did.
Yeah, that one's really, really good. In fact, I missed that was coming out. Like, I didn't know that one was out for, I don't know, a year, maybe almost 2 years after it was out. Like, I just hadn't heard anything about it, and it completely flew under my radar. And so I missed the chance to get that one on, like, whatever special release they did that had a 5.1 mix, because I'm really big into getting those kind of concept albums in a, like, a surround sound format. And it still pisses me off to this day that I can't find that one anywhere.
Now, hilariously enough, the first time I heard about that record was also during the time where I was still figuring out, I was still moving from Apple Music to Spotify as, like, a normal thing. And the funny thing is, it was like a, I think it was like on a little Spotify radio thing, but it was like a year after it came out that I found out, oh, this is this is a full on record Styx made. And I just fell in love with it. So.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys also probably like stuff like 2112 and, I think Clockwork Angel.
That's the other
kind of a concept album.
2112 is like my other favorite album.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
2112 and Scenes from a Memory to me are like, if we're talking about prog rock, that's, or prog rock slash metal, I guess, but like that's like, those are the two main ones to me.
Yeah.
And always have been. But I also like listening to a bunch of different stuff. And there are so many different kind of genres that like concept albums come in.
Mm-hmm. You guys know Elton
like
John?
Like Janelle Monáe is my favorite.
Ooh.
I love Janelle Monáe's Arch Android. Oh, that is so good. It's such a weird album.
Oh, I gotta listen to that now.
I can't remember if A View from the Top of the World Dream Theater is a concept record or not. But
I don't think it is. It just has one really long ass song.
That's right. It has a concept song on it. That's right.
Yeah.
A View from the Top of the World is,
I mean, technically the same for 2112.
Yeah, that's 2112 is like a 7-part suite.
Yeah. Then there's some other stuff on that that's not 2112.
Yeah, it's A Passage to Bangkok.
Yeah.
Don't talk to Getty about that one.
Oh, yeah. I think they were
one
just
that people
to pick that out.
One people that forget is a concept record that I actually really enjoy, and I forgot that I pulled for, which will make sense in a second, for some of the guitar sounds, American Idiot.
Yeah. I've got an episode about that.
I was wondering why that sounded familiar.
I do pull a lot of guitar tone from specifically like Sum 41, Green Day, but like American Idiot is another one of the people don't, a lot of people don't realize it's a concept record, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Engineering wise, there's this one concept record that's really cool that I can't remember if it actually came out, but the Who was trying to do something with
like Tommy. Yeah.
Well, there's Tommy, but I'm not talking about Tommy. There's one that was, I can't remember off the top of my head, that was supposed to be like surround sound ish when that was about to be consumer market back then. I forget what the record is, and I'm pretty sure it was the Who. It might have also been the police. Shit. Crap.
Yeah, I can't help you on that one. But
yeah, no.
That's what you get for having too much music knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little note to the side. I think Green Day is practically the reason why I am still dreaming about, but really wish I could get a Les Paul Jr. or Les Paul.
Oh.
Yeah, like a Les Paul Jr. I use just a straight up like Les Paul tribute tee.
Green Day is the reason I can't put full trust in any system.
Fair.
They started me down that path. It's their fault.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Though I will say this, I do love Green Day's sound.
You know who puts together a good concept record is Alice Cooper. Welcome to my nightmares.
Alice really Cooper.
Yeah.
But he puts together a good concert record, but I like his individual stuff. Feed My Frankenstein specifically is an amazing song. If we're just talking like pure influence. Mm-hmm. Love that song. We were talking about covering it, but we might shelve that idea.
Yeah, one of my other favorite ones that came out kind of recently was The Deer Hunter. A lot of his stuff is concept based, but okay. The Antimony, the last album that wasn't like a remaster or a remake or something, because he does a lot of that too. But
wait, you said his. Is The Deer Hunter just one dude?
As far as I know, it's mostly Casey that puts all that stuff together, yeah.
I did not know that. That's wild.
I mean,
it's very interesting.
I don't know all the band and whatever, but like whenever I read up anything about The Deer Hunter, it's always just him like talking about it, or it's always his name. Like I don't see a lot of other people's names involved with it, but
Quadrophenia by The Who.
Oh, was it like a
Quadrophenia,
like a quadraphonic stereo.
Correct. Album. Yeah. And that was the concept. They were going to make a quadraphonic record.
Only the real ones. That know what that part is.
Yeah, and that never came to fruition.
Yeah, well, neither did Quadrophonic, to be fair.
No, it didn't. That's why that it never took off, and so they were like, "Fuck it, never mind." But they did make it into, they made it into a full stereo record. And so I had been when we first set off on the recording process for this, I had just watched an interview with the original recording engineer for Quadrophenia. And a lot of his ideals came into, and just that interview was on my mind a lot. Okay. While I was tracking. So,
yeah,
Quadrophenia by The Who.
Quadrophonics, by the way, was the precursor to 5.1 surround sound. So it was basically like they took the stereo and they said, "Well, what if we just doubled that and put it behind us, and then you could, you know, move shit around between the speakers and do some cool stuff." And
it was 4.0 surround sound.
Yeah. Yeah, and it never really took off. Like, I knew that it existed. People certainly had quadraphonic systems, and, like, my uncle had a quad in one of his cars. Like, if you...
Wow.
Yeah, I can't remember... God, what...
That had to be expensive.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what he said, if it was an 8-track player or whatever that could do quad. I can't remember, but what
they were going to put it... They were going to put it on 8-track because that was the only thing that could do that, that could hold the information that it needed.
Yeah.
But it was very tough to make it on a consumer platform. Almost no one had the capability of listening to 4.0. And it just never took off in a consumer market. So they kiboshed that pretty much.
I think we're boring the other band members.
We're talking tech shit, sorry.
No, I was laughing at myself about the idea that like 8-track was the only thing that could manage it.
Right. Well, and here now they are trying to push actual consumer surround sound for music, and you know that there's a lot of talk in the engineering spectrum and forums and whatnot of like, is anyone really gonna fucking use this? Because we hardly do.
Yeah, I'm a fan. And we're the one. It's rare to find, and it's usually prog bands that do a 5.1 album.
I'm thinking of doing a single with us that's surround compatible, and doing like two different mixes for one song. So, oh yeah, I haven't told you guys that yet. So look forward to that.
Cool. The band's getting spoilers too.
Yeah, right.
Well, Alex, I hope you know what you're signing up for.
The only surround like Atmos enabled like stream service that I know of is I think is Apple Music that can support mm-hmm. it. So,
and they're the ones that pay us the most. So if you like our music, maybe do us a favor and purchase it on like Apple.
Buy a CD. You said you had CDs.
We do. We have physical CDs, and we are going to set up to be able to offer them.
Let me know how I can buy one of those, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. Right now, the purchase option is in person at show, but we're working on setting up an option to be able to ship them out to people, so you can purchase them directly on our website. But that will be coming soon once we can get unfrozen from our houses and back into working order. But yeah, that'll be an option.
Once we break out of the icy depths of Tennessee.
Correct. Correct. I literally had to take a hammer for like 2 hours to my driveway just to get like the 3 inches of ice out from under my car. It was rough. And even then I couldn't get off my street.
So. You weren't kidding. Y'all don't have the infrastructure for that.
No, we do not. So if anyone from Tennessee DOT is listening, get your shit together, please.
Florida probably really doesn't have the infrastructure for that, because like all the shit show that happened in Texas when they had their deep freeze. I'm thinking that Florida probably would have a similar situation if there was like
North Florida gets snow every once in a while. But nothing like anything compared to what we're getting right now. But I think everyone was lucky this time. I have a lot of friends in Atlanta, and they were like, we didn't even get hit that hard. So I think Florida luckily has been safe. Except Danny, who is still living there, came up here for the show that got canceled. So he's stuck here with us.
Oh, now here's the thing. Even before that, like it was like this Monday this recent Monday that, Alex, I don't know if you know this, but, two tornadoes hit and one of them was right near where I worked.
There were more tornadoes in Florida. Oh, jeez.
There were two tornadoes on Monday.
So one hit Stewart, another one hit. I know one hit Tradition. I heard about that one. I didn't know one hit.
Yeah, so one hit Tradition and another hit, I think around Stewart or Jensen. Jeez. Anybody listening to this in Florida, please let us know if you can look that up, you know?
Just be safe, because we're having weather this year that we're not supposed to be having.
Yeah, I thought tornadoes I didn't know that there were.
Yeah, now it's not like the tornadoes are like, oh, destroy buildings, freaking mow everything. It's not a lawnmower kind of tornado.
They're still
it's
just more like a. Though.
Yeah.
It's just like, it was strong enough winds to classify as a tornado, but not strong enough to devastate everything.
Yeah. The thing that people don't realize about Florida weather is like, it's a lot of stuff combined into one. What folks don't realize until they move to Florida and experience it for themselves is hurricanes have tornadoes in them. So it's not just one giant storm. It's like storm systems with tornadoes in it. So you'll get hurricane force winds and rain, and then you'll just happen to like peek out your blinds in the middle of a tornado, middle of a hurricane, and there passes by a regular freaking big ass tornado. Yeah, shit's not fun. It's not fun. I'm glad I don't live there anymore for that reason. That and the Gators.
Well, and here's the thing: anybody that's just native to Florida. If for anybody that's not in Florida, if you hear category one, category two, okay, category three, category four, we're still staying home. Don't worry.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Oh,
don't
category.
You can board up for those things, but the tornadoes start.
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
Oops, sorry, we're at a delay. It's a category 4 tornado. You need to evacuate. It's very dangerous. We are staying home.
Yeah, we have hurricane parties. Like, people like to joke about that. But for the Northerners listening to this, we're not kidding. We have literal parties that are hurricane parties. We will gather in people's lawns and yards and barbecue and grill until we can't stand.
We will literally have a barbecue mm-hmm. in the middle of a hurricane. Mm-hmm. And that's just a typical Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah, we're just unbothered.
There's a lot of people in Indiana that might do that in a tornado if they got the chance, but
if I saw a tornado coming towards me, I don't know if I'd stick that out. Well, tornadoes will suck you up. A hurricane just knocks you over.
Yeah. Well, like, there was a video, I think it was from Illinois that I saw from, and it wasn't super current. It was like a year ago or something like that. But, it was a guy on his front porch, like, filming a tornado destroying his neighborhood, like trees falling over 10 feet away from him. And he's filming it on his front porch. And I'm like, that's the most Midwest thing I can imagine.
Oh my God.
Does that not even giving a shit if the tornado is going to hit his house? It's just watching. He's just filming it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll find a lot of that Midwest. People in Kansas do not give a shit.
Yep. Just another day in the neighborhood.
More questions, please.
So yeah, let's do one last question and we'll see where we end up. So we talked just a little bit about it, but I'm wondering what's next for you guys. Are you trying to get local shows more done, or are you looking like a year, couple years down the road at maybe getting some touring in, or maybe doing another album, or what are you guys' thoughts on what's next for Odysseus?
Okay. Oh, I'm the one that stresses the most about the future. we have a album release show on February 3rd. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, we have set our initial production meeting for our next record, which is going to be an EP. It's already titled. It's titled Burn. So we're just going to come together, kind of talk about what we want that to sound like, what we want this, you know, if there's going to be any sort of our overarching story, what we want that to look like. We've got some artists in mind. So we will be just right back to making more music, because that's what we do. That's what we do really well. Then we're going to continue to book. More importantly, we're going to get Danny to move up here. That's been a process for a while. So we're going to get Danny up here, and then we're going to book a bunch of shows, play locally, play out a little bit. And then we definitely are looking forward to, playing outside of Tennessee, doing some small regional tours, just playing with some really cool acts from around the states that, we've been kind of talking with. And doing some stuff there. We've also got some other studios that, like in Wisconsin, there's a buddy of mine who is opening up a, not just a recording studio, but like kind of like a live stage studio situation. And they want mm-hmm. us to come up and do like some live sets, or do a live set there. But yeah, so recording more stuff. We're going to try and do, like a cover to feature some friends of ours that are really, really talented.
Nice.
And then just kind of go from there. But the big points are play more, write more, get Danny to move. Those are the three large targets in our future at the moment. As well as getting people merch, because that one takes time, but we're getting there, because people have been asking.
Yeah.
We will have stuff for people to purchase eventually.
Eventually.
Did anyone else have any like ideas that we haven't yet talked about that you all want to do in the future? Or did I just casually cover it?
Bounce house venue.
Bounce house venue.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so question. Is this a warehouse with a bunch of bounce houses in it, or is this one giant bounce house that is the venue?
No, I'm
bounce house venue.
I'm gonna set up a.
That's where I'm leaving it.
In my backyard, you guys come and play.
No explanation, just bounce house venue. All right. Okay.
I can't give too much away. It's a genius idea.
Yeah. For me, I'm also looking to just expand, even just not just us being as just a standard kind of band too. I don't like being a standard kind of anything.
Oh, not to give too much away, but we have,
I think, two.
No, a game company that's looking into having us do some contract music. As like Odysseus featuring, that's still in discussion, but you know, we're not just looking to, again, we're just looking to put good music out. Yeah. So whether that's putting out a record or, you know, doing something specifically in a game, I mean, a lot of us are session musicians, so we're doing a lot of that independent work as well. But when the opportunity arises to kind of come together as Odysseus featured in something else, we'll also be doing that. There's another record that we're working on that's still kind of a hush hush secret with a good friend of ours, Crows, who works, who's a voice actor and big in the Comic-Con world. We're doing a record with him where the band Odysseus are the core musicians, but it is like a separate project. But that's, you know, that's the other kind of thing that we're getting into as well.
So we're doing avenues for expansion, sounds like.
Yes. Avenues for expansion is a great way to put that.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Where can people find your stuff real quick? You gotta plug stuff.
Yeah, we gotta do the plug.
Give me a website, the name of the Discord server. You're on TikTok, all that. Give me all that stuff.
OdysseusExperience.com has everything, but we are on most platforms. Now, small caveat, Odysseus is a little bit of a common name. So some places it's Odysseus Music, some places it's Odysseus Experience. But if you're completely unsure, OdysseusExperience.com will have everything linked,
okay,
including going to streaming, all of our social medias, and a Discord invite if you want to come and hang out with us. We're in VCs quite a lot. We have no lives. Please hang out with us.
We need friends. Please.
We need friends.
And if you aren't sure that you're looking at the right Odysseus, it's the one with the rainbow ring.
It's the one with the rainbow ring.
The rainbow ring.
The Fruity Loop, if you will.
Yeah. So there will be a link to that somewhere in the episode description. I will make sure to get that worked out.
Excellent.
Nice.
And then if you enjoyed this episode of Michael's Mixdown, you can find other episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can follow me on Facebook. And I don't really use Instagram too much because you can't share links, and that's basically all I'm interested in doing is trying to get you to click on the link to go to the episode, and you can't do that on Instagram. But I'm on TikTok sometimes as m.mixdown, so sometimes there's little clips and previews of episodes and other kind of audio advice and other goofy things that I do. So yeah, go check me out on there, and if you like this, maybe you'll go check out another episode and then another one, and then until you're messaging me when's the next one going to come out. Nobody's ever done.
Yeah, go check out the scenes from messages. A memory episode. go check out the scenes from a memory episode.
Yeah, I really like that one. That was a fun one to work on.
But definitely spam Michael with messages. Where's the next one? Where's the next one? Where's the next one?
Yeah.
Like the second one comes out, when's the next one?
Oh yeah, by the way, when's the next one?
Yeah, hey Michael, when's the next
one? Well, there was one part? As of the recording of this, it was yesterday. So not
Oh shoot, all right.
A while, maybe a couple of weeks. We'll see.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks.
Well, thanks for coming and hanging out with me, guys. And, yeah. Well, I think that was pretty much a good interview. I don't know.
Is that concise enough?
No. Okay. But
God damn it.
I will be editing the shit out of this. No, I'm kidding.
We can keep going. That's.
Yeah. I gotta go one more time.
We're here to make you work.
Yeah. How can we make you work harder?
How you make me just all talk at the same time and just not stop.
Yeah, we can do that. So, hey, Danny. I found some pasta and like in the back.
The Flinders Graham Pearson test is the multi-stage aerobic capacity test.
Bounce house.
There are so many different kind of bounce.
So what's gonna happen?
Is that good enough for you? Can you clip
and
that?
I'm just gonna fade it out.
There you go.
There you go.
We can all stop recording.